got any water meters, water here on June 14th at 8 o'clock. Okay. Do we, yeah, we got two, four, five, we got a corn. We don't have any public comments this morning. When we look at consent agenda.
Only thing we got on there is the minutes from our last meeting.
Make a motion, we approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Got a motion and second, approve the minutes as presented. Comment further? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Any opposed, same side. Motion carried, we go to tab two.
Tab two is our proposed budget for this, this next upcoming year. Every year we'll put together a proposed budget and let you guys take a look at it and tell you what staff's thinking, and next month we'll bring it back to you and ask for you to approve it. And I'll go, if you want me to, I'll go through it real quick and point out the highlights, the things that are different from what we did last year. On that very first page, if you want to look at the comparisons between what we did last year and this year, you can see the differences, and I'll kind of explain the differences. And man, for one thing, everything's just getting expensive right now. I mean, insurance is going up. I mean, all of our materials are going up, you know, and, you know, fortunately we have been able to retain staff, you know, from year to the next year, and that costs you more money when you have guys that have been with you for a long time. But you know, it's a real benefit to us to have those guys that have that experience. But anyway, administration, it's going to be up about $24,000. One thing in there is we're going to have to budget for an election next year. Every other year we budget for an election, so we got election costs in there. Other than that, and it's just salary increases and normal operating costs are up. Distribution, last year it was 1.2 million on John's distribution budget. This year it's going to be up to 1.459. Biggest part of that is actually the pipeline line item that, you know, that we operate out of, the construction line item. Next year we've got, we're allowing for a couple of things. One of them being this pump station out here on 67 West. It's time for us to increase the size of those pumps. When we started out, they were smaller pumps because we had fewer customers and we were moving less water. As we get more customers down on the south side of the county, JD's having to run those pumps more and more, you know, wide open, so we're going to increase the size of those pumps. We've already increased them out here on this pump station going back out 56 to the north. So there's a little bit extra money in there for pump station upgrade. Going to allow a little bit of money in there to repaint this water tower up here. And when we built that water tower, when was that, around 2009 or 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, we ended up, the contractor that was a good tower, it was well built, they hired a paint contractor, and Larry was actually the inspector on it. He can probably tell you more than I can, but we had one paint contractor, and I don't know if the guy went out of business, but he left in the middle of the job and just left it standing there. It seemed like they brought in another one that tried to do it, and finally ended up getting it painted, but we didn't get a real good paint job on it. It was good enough to get through the warranty period, but it needs to be repainted here in the next. And we may not paint it next year, but I'm allowing enough money in this budget to paint it. But probably going to repaint it in this next fiscal year. It'll be a couple $100,000. It's right there where it's at with all the structures around it. They'll have to cover it up to get it painted. But anyway, got money in there to repaint that water tower. Other than that, it's just, you know, the rest of John's budget will go toward the land pipeline. Next line item, production is up a couple $100,000. We've got money in there to take care of the chloramine transition that we're proposing. If that does, you know, once the engineering gets done on it, if that turns out to be a viable option for us, we've got money in there to make that chloramine transversion. Also, JD's truck is the Chevy that he drives, the treatment plant truck. It was the very first vehicle we bought whenever we started buying vehicles. It's a 2011 model, and it's just got too much age on it for us to hang on to. We're going to replace that. There's money in there for that. Parks and Rec, our park is the same as last year. That's really the only thing that we haven't had a bunch of increases on. The park's been doing really well. Last year actually made money in the park, and I think this year probably make a little bit of money in the park.
Did you notice any decrease because of the COVID restrictions in the county?
We're dropping off. When we get back to that report that Ken does on the park, you'll see that, you know, last year it spiked up real high. And this year we're dropping back down to closer to where we were in 2019 and 2018 and 2019. So yeah, we're going back to where we were at. We're still a little bit higher in attendance, I think, but it's going back to where we were at pre-COVID.
I'm talking about attendance and people coming to the park.
It's, you know, last year, like I said, we had a real spike last year because of COVID, but we're not getting as many people as we had last year. Yeah. It's dropping back off to where it was and where we had hoped it would be. I'll tell you what, last year we just had too many people in here. We made a lot of money, but in my opinion, it lowers the quality of the experience for folks out there, and it's a real headache for us. We end up spending too much of our time on park issues when we have too many people in here. And I prefer to try to keep it at a level that's, you know, a little more fun to operate than last year. Last year it was just a real pain.
You know, we had 50 people last week, and they sure did like it and express it. They didn't know it was here and how well it was.
I didn't know you were. Were you over there with them?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
And the pavilion that built so well and stuff, and so it was an eye opener for a lot of them. It never been out.
You'd be surprised how many people show up here that live in Glen Rose and still, you know, don't know that we're up here.
But you know, since Oakdale has stopped people from swimming, I think we'll get more swimmers this year.
I thought the same thing, but I don't think, I mean, that's not really what the numbers are showing. The numbers are not showing we're getting all that many more than we were getting 2 years ago.
It's just not getting hot enough.
It's not, that's probably true. I think all the rain that we've had here for the last month and a half may have helped people up, but we'll see, you know, by the end of, once July rolls around, we'll get a pretty good idea of what it's going to be like. Where was I? About the park. Next item down, debt services is the same number. We've still got about eight or nine years left on our bond payments. So that money for that is just for our bond payments. If you'll skip a couple of pages, maybe three pages to that page one, I'll real briefly go down through that first summary page that looks like this. If we leave our rate at the same spot that it's been for the last 4 or 5 years, everything works out pretty much the same as it did last year. At the 12 cent rate, we'll bring in operating income of $1.9 million. Water sales, I'm budgeting $590,000 for water sales. You know, that's a fairly small part of our budget, but you know, we had talked about increasing our water, the price of our water, and I actually budgeted a 25-cent increase. And you know, that's the one thing that you guys need to decide on, if that's okay with it, if y'all. But actually, I was, you know, we've talked that we needed to get more of a spread between our wholesale water rate and our retail water rate. We've been selling water to the city for $1.75, and to our residential customers for $2. It's just a 25-cent spread between our wholesale and our retail. And you know, we thought about going down on the wholesale. That's in a year when things are getting more expensive and we got a lot of work coming up. That's not really a viable option, I don't think. But we do have a lot of room to go up on our retail rate from $2 a thousand to, and what this budget proposes is $2.25 a thousand. Not going to be, you're not really going to see it much at home. In addition to that, I think we might even look at going up another 25 cents next year and get us a 50-cent overall increase. But that's, like I said, that's y'all's decision to make. If we want to keep just, you know, operating like we are, we can. But I think that we're too, you know, we're getting a little inexpensive on the water to our residential customers. But
I was just thinking about that at my house. If we do that, that costs me another $4 a month.
Well, that's way too much.
Ridiculous.
But you know, I don't know. It's hard to do. We've gone 10 years. You know, we started selling water in 2011, and we've gone 10 years without a rate increase. And I know our mission is to be, you know, as inexpensive on the water rate as we can. And
well, I agree with you. A little gradual increase is a lot better than just having to do it all at once.
Yeah.
As flexible as we are, we can always go down if we have to. It's just not that big a deal.
We can't go down if we had to. You know, if we finished up all the water lines we wanted that we're wanting to run, and you know, then we'll start having a surplus, and you could go back down if you wanted to. But when we've got you know, plant expansion that we're looking at having to do, I think the prudent thing is to start trying to generate a little bit more income. And we do. In my opinion, we do need to get a spread between that wholesale rate, and that's about the only thing the only legitimate complaint the city has against our operating procedure here is that we're a little bit too narrow on the spread between wholesale and retail. But I mean, that's not a good. That's never been a good enough reason for us to raise rates on our customers, but. that'll shut them up, I think, if we make that move. And also, I think it's just it's getting to the point where it's going to be good business for us to start trying to generate a little bit of money on that water sale side.
And if we go on to finish up the line, the expense is going to get more. Of course, we won't be
more maintenance.
Won't be having as many miles to put in. But it's going to be expensive. But I mean, they've been paying taxes all these years too, so we need to be prepared, I think, to how we're going to handle it, the extra cost.
Yeah, we've got. Yeah, I think that it's a good thing to do in preparation for that additional cost. You know, one thing we'll see it when we get later on into this budget, when you look at our water report from last month, but last month when we were having all that rain, we sold the least amount of water that we've sold since day one, since 2011. We sold less money water than we sold when we opened in 2011. It's because of the rain. People weren't watering their yards, and it makes you see how much of the water we sell goes out onto the ground in people's yards, and that's a luxury. You know, for most folks, and it's, and you know, people, if they're gonna pay for that, if they're gonna take, they're gonna waste that water unless they're getting charged, you know, a reasonable rate for it, I think.
Will ever price tier go up or just?
That's what, I think if we do a 25 cent increase, it'll be forever price. It'll be forever price tier. It won't just be the starting rate. It'll be the rate after 10,000 and after 20,000.
And I think we talked about this last time we talked about raising that, but.
We did.
Even with that increase, we're still way below.
We're still way below. Yeah, I tell you what, next month I'll bring you that. I'll bring you a comparison to how we compare statewide to other comparable water districts to us, and you can see that. Yeah, we're way below average on the price of water. And we've just been doing it because we can, because we, you know, we have an alternate source of revenue, which is our taxes, and that's the only reason that we've stayed so low is because we were able to do it. All right, where was that? Non-operating income, man, we're not hardly getting anything on interest nowadays. Park revenues, up, you know, around 120,000. Tap fees, 50,000. Late and reconnect fees, a couple thousand. Bulk water sales, 5,000. Total revenue for the year's look with that increase on the water is $2.7 million. And one other thing, that increase in the water sales at that 25 cents, that's only going to generate is another $50,000 or $60,000 a year. It's not going to even. Just increasing a quarter is not going to give us that much money. That's why, you know, I'm thinking we need to, in order to get that number to a bigger number, we need to start stepping it up. If the plant, you know, they're always talking about us losing the value of the plant out there. If the value of the plant ever goes away for us, we're gonna have to triple our price of water to make ends meet. So it's, you know, it only makes sense that we kind of start heading in that direction to me. But
yeah. The whole county's gonna know that situation.
Yeah, everybody in the county is, but it's, you know, I hope I'm gone the day that happens, because it's gonna get ugly.
What do we charge for bulk water?
$5 per thousand gallons.
You know, I know they're talking about the plant, but with Texas growing like it is and the need of electricity, you think that plant's going to go down?
I don't think so. No. No. I think that plant's going to be there in 25 years from now. It's what I think, personally.
As well as it has endured itself, of course, yeah. I thought it was going to burn itself out. And they're ready for probably 20 years, wasn't it?
Well, you know, just a couple of months ago, we got notice that they were applying for the new permits. I personally don't think it's going to go away, you know, but still.
I think in years to come, we'll see more nuclear plants going. Actually, you'd be surprised that in Europe, some of those countries are 70% nuclear right now, as far as that.
Yeah. I don't think it's going away, but still, you've got.
And you know how Japan. Go shut everything down. No more nuclear. Well, the one that gave them all the trouble, they've already rebuilding it because it didn't have enough ability.
Didn't build the right start with.
Yeah, had to have it.
Serious state, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. That worked just pretty close.
Run out of petrol.
Anyway, going down through the budget, the operating expenditures, $526,000. One thing out of the ordinary that we put in that 3 years ago, was it 3 years ago we did the?
Yes.
3 years ago we did a COLA for our retirees. We've only got two retirees, Kathy and Larry. We did a 1% COLA for them 3 years ago, and we had a note in the budget from then. That we were going to wait 3 years, and that we were going to look at doing
a five percent
COLA. We can't do 5% COLAs anymore. Our Kim talked to the lady at our retirement plan. All we can do nowadays is 1% COLAs, or there's a COLA called, what is it? The other one
CPI.
Called? A CPI, which follows the Consumer Price Index. And it's difficult to manage, and it's difficult really to understand or see what you're getting. And she didn't recommend doing the CPI COLA. She thought that if you do the 1% COLA like we did 3 years ago, that's about as good as you can do for your retirees if you choose to. I wish if we had known that we weren't going to be able to do the 5% COLA, we would have just, I would have recommended 2 years ago that we just continued the 1% COLA. It costs us, what'd the number be, $3,000. Costs us $3,000 a year to do a 1% COLA, and that's a one-time fee. You pay it in that first year, and it's good for the life of that. That it funds the COLA for as long as your retirees are surviving. So anyway, that's what I've built into this budget is a 1% COLA for the retirees, and I think in the future as we move forward every year, unless we get into some lean years, I'd like to do that. It's not quite keeping up with the CPI, but still it gives the retirees a little extra bump. Other than distribution, again, I told you what all we were putting in distribution, Parks and Rec, production. If you see down there, with everything that I've put in this year's budget, we are $200,000 over budget. Of our expenditures are $200,000 over revenue. That's the number that I'm budgeting for the plant addition for chloramines. And when we talked about doing the chloramines, we talked about taking that out of the interest on our capital maintenance fund. And so I'm doing a transfer out of the capital maintenance fund for that $200,000. So essentially that money for the plant, if you remember our capital maintenance fund, we have a policy of only using the interest off it for capital expenditure. And so that's, we're gonna take $200,000 of the interest out of it to fund that. And I'm transferring it from that account into this account.
That's the one that you said we just put the $5,000 budgeted for an increase this year? You've got interest earned at $5,000.
No, that interest is actually off interest on our operating accounts, which is just kept here in our bank locally.
Not on the other.
Yeah, not on the other. That capital maintenance account, and we'll get into it here at the back. It's we keep it in CDs. It's not earning much right now, but we did here for the last 3 years, we've earned a fair amount of interest on it. We had 300, it, right now we have about $360,000 in interest in it that we've earned. So it's, we're going to take $200,000 of that, and it's going to leave $160,000 in there.
Well, is that the money we set aside in case for?
Yes, it is.
Damn, if something happens.
Yeah, it's right at $7 million. But we've been using the interest off of it. We use some of the interest off of it to build that service center back there. And when we set it up, one of the provisions that for that account was that we were going to leave the balance of it in there from now on as self-insurance, but we were going to use the interest off of it for capital improvements if we had something that was needing it. And this fits that criteria. And that'll leave us about $1.4 million in our fund balance in our general fund at the end of the year to carry over to the next year.
That makes it a lot easier to improve.
If you want to skip through that, I'll let me let me find the page number that, rest of it's all just pretty much.
We went through a lot of this when we were doing the budget workshop, didn't we? Is there any real difference in what you projected?
No, not a whole lot, just the things that I pointed out there. If you wanna, if you'll skip, it says page, it's toward the back. Yeah, here it is. It says at the top, it says capital maintenance trust fund. And you'll see.
And it's under debt service.
Keep going.
It's past debt service.
Okay, I got you now.
This page right here. Starting at the top of it, I mean, there's $7 million in that account. Actually, $7,150,000 in that account. I'm only budgeted $20,000 in interest, but we're just getting nothing. We're getting a half on our money. So you can see where I'm taking that $200,000. We're pulling that $200,000 out of that account. And so the account's gonna end up going down $180,000 this year. We'll end up going for $7.15 million for about $6.9 million. And like I say, of that $7,150,000, $360,000 of it is interest that we've earned over the last few years. And so we're not gonna get into the principal amount that we had invested in that, which that was what our mission statement said we were gonna do when we opened that account. Behind it, if you wanna read about that COLA, that's confusing. But I've got some COLA information in there that talks about the differences between flat rate and CPI-based COLA. And then the bottom paragraph, I'm gonna go ahead and read this to you. It's on this page. Yeah, I think both of you, all of you found it. That bottom paragraph is Kim's writing. It was a note that she made back in 2018-2019 when we did the last COLA. It said in 18-19, the board approved a COLA for the retirees. This was the first COLA the district had done. The board chose to do a 1% flat rate, total of $3,085. Discussion was that a COLA would be revisited every 3 years and a 5% flat rate is what the board wanted to do. Preparation, the first draft of this budget, Kent went to get the 5% COLA for the retirees and 5% flat rate COLA is not an option anymore. It was an option back then.
It was
an option back then, but it's not an option anymore. The only option is a 1% flat rate or a different percentage based on the CPI. If you wanted to read on those.
We're going to 1%.
That's what I've got built in. That's what I'm proposing. Next month when we come back and approve this thing, and we can have more discussion on doing whatever y'all want to do, but we're proposing a 1% flat rate.
It's already included in the budget, right?
Yes, sir.
It's included in there. No, it's not. Again, the very last page of this section, I've got our tax rate history that I always show you guys. If we leave the tax rate right where it's at, we'll still be at the 0.129 on our tax rate where we've been for the last 5 years. And you can see where we've been. It's pretty close to where we've been since 2003 when we really got started. We're only up about 0.9, yeah. less than a penny on our tax rate. So we're still, I think we've done a better job than most of our taxing entities of holding our tax rate where it's at, and still doing business at the same rate.
I think it's super. If we need to make some adjustment at some point, I think we're well justified in doing it by keeping it that way.
Yeah.
But You're ready for a motion, I would recommend.
This is just a discussion item, so we don't even really need a motion, we don't need a, there's no action item on it, it's just. Next month, we'll, I'll bring it back to you as an action item, and I don't.
We'll have to have a public.
Do we have a public hearing on our budget? I bet we do. Yeah, there will be a public hearing at the beginning of the budget, and then we'll take action on it. I don't think there will be any changes to it, but if there are, I'll discuss them with you. That's all on that. Next tab, 3, Somerville Appraisal District 2022 budget. So we're being asked to approve the appraisal district's budget. Last year, their budget was $796,000. If you'll remember, last year, they were having to upgrade their computer system, so they had asked for an increase in their budget last year. This year, now, I said that backwards. This year, they're asking for $796,000. Last year, their budget was $828,000. So this year, their budget is $31,000 less than it was last year. They're back to normal operating expenditures, and so their budget is closer to where.
We always have to approve their budget, don't we?
You know, we don't, yes, we always look at it, and we have the option of either approving it, or we can not take action on it, and it just stands. If we don't take action, it just stands, but.
Because they work for us, and we have.
That's correct.
But we have to.
And Wes is real.
We have to pay a portion of their budget, I mean.
Well, and having known as approval.
And it's in there, very last line item on the background there. Our portion of their budget for this upcoming year is $57,000. That's all it costs us for them to do all the appraisal assessments on all the property values, for them to do all the collections, everything they do for us, it just costs us $57,000, because we're the smallest of all the taxing entities.
I make a motion that we approve the appraisal district 22 budget as presented.
Second.
We have a motion, second, to approve the Somerville County appraisal district budget. Any further comments? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same side? Ayes have it, motion carries.
The general manager's report, 2021 annual fireworks show, we're proceeding with fireworks show just like we were doing prior to the COVID last year. We're gonna have a full-blown show. We got Brady Hulsey lined up to play music over there. We've got, a show similar to what we always do planned.
July 4th.
Yes, sir. It's on, the 4th falls on a Sunday. Now, the city or the county, whoever's doing the parade, they decided to do their parade on Saturday, the 3rd. But, you know, we made a decision 5, 6, 7 years ago that we were going to keep our show on the 4th, no matter what night it fell on. And this year it falls on a Sunday. Now, the Monday's a holiday, so we're going to have a good crowd out here, because it's still in the middle of the holiday weekend. So, it's going to be a good show. I'm looking forward to it.
And we always charge this.
Yeah, that's exactly what we've been, we charge up. Well, you know, our rates are up a little, we raised our rates a little bit to even numbers. You know, our rate used to be $4 and $8. Now it's, you know, we, at the beginning of this season, we went up when we, you know, we spent the last year collecting money at $5 and $10, just because it was easy, since we were doing cash payments, and we kept it at that. There again, we've had so many people in the park last year, we needed to raise the rates to keep the attendance down. And I think maybe that's working a little bit, that, you know, some people are getting priced out, and that's okay, because it's just too many people that's coming in here, in my opinion.
How the fireworks cost compared to what it was going to be last year?
Our fireworks have been $20,000 ever since we started. They have never increased the price of fireworks. I think that their costs, as we go on, I think as technology gets it's more advanced with these fireworks shows, I think their costs go down, are going down, so it's not costing us any more money to hold the fireworks show.
That's a good fireworks show.
Yeah, and it is a good fireworks show.
And the people that don't want to pay, they can sit, you know, I can sit out there on 8 miles out, I can sit up on the top and see the Everett flag.
I think it's some of the best money we spend every year. I mean, people really appreciate it.
Well, it's free after 7 p.m. At 7 p.m., everybody can come in.
That's right. We do make it, we just charge people that are coming in during the day. And then after 7 p.m., you know, you've got from 7 to 9. No, the show, what is the 9:30 is the show?
9:30.
From 7 to 9:30, we have 2.5 hour window that if people want to come out just to watch the show in the evening, we let them in free.
I was thinking that's what.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, now that's the way we've been doing it for the last 5 years or so, and that works. Yeah, it's a lot of work to get everybody in here, but it's well worthwhile.
Yes.
And just out of interest, the next thing is a drought alert notice that we got from the TCEQ on May 7th, and then you know how that went. We had a month of rain and. I think we're out of that drought alert. But yeah, on May 7th, TCEQ was putting water providers on notice that, you know, we were gonna have a long, hot summer and that we needed to prepare for pumping restrictions. But just about the time we got this drought alert, it started raining and that was the end of it.
Good time.
You know, we had talked about at our last meeting about Karen had mentioned taking credit cards at the park over there. So Kim asked our vendor, this is the vendor that we're using on credit. She asked our vendor what it would take to get set up for credit cards over there. First thing, you need really good internet service. And we don't have that over there. The internet service is spotty. One day we may have better internet service over there, but right now we don't. And there's several reasons that you know, make it complicated. If that were a mom and pop owned operation, you know, they could do the payments on their phones. But you know, we don't have phones for those guys. We don't require them to allow us to use their phones. So I mean, it's going to be, what I'm getting around to saying, it's going to be a little bit difficult. It's going to be quite a bit of time on Kim if we do take credit cards over there. Here for the last, you know, 5 years, every decision that I make around here with regard to clerical stuff, I try to take the easiest route to avoid having to hire another person, another clerical staff here in the office. Kim has about all she can do, and you know, it's not, as long as we can hold off on adding more busy jobs to Kim's work, the longer we can go without adding another staff person here. And I don't really think it's worth adding another staff person to do, you know, credit card billings for the park. It's my opinion. The cash deal, I like the cash deal. It makes it easier on everybody. All we have to do is count cash, you know, once a week. But it works. It works pretty well. It works, and especially for the local folks. All the locals that come out here on a regular basis, they know to bring cash, you know. And if out of town folks, if they want to get in, they can find some cash. It's the way we look at it. We're not trying to attract more people here and make it more convenient, in my opinion, because we're already overrun with out-of-town folks.
Well, and credit cards inherently, when you take them, all kinds of security issues come up. People showing up with stolen credit cards, lost credit cards that people have found, all kinds of
chargebacks.
Plus, and the receipts. You know, if somebody demands a receipt and the printer's not working, you got to maintain the printer and all that. It's just, there's all kinds of inherent headaches that come along with all that.
We're doing fine.
We are doing fine over there. And if people, if we do advertise that we're taking credit cards and people come all the way from the Metroplex down here and the internet's out over there like it is on a regular occasion, they get here and the internet's out and we can't take their credit card, they're just going to be upset because we've, advertised that.
If people, they've got, they're over the limit or they've discontinued the credit card and want to argue, it puts all kinds of additional pressure on the park host that wasn't part of their, condition of appointment, and arguing with people about if their credit card is good or not. I don't see it as an advantage.
Not recommending doing the credit card at this point, if that's okay with you guys.
Absolutely.
Next thing, water line extensions. Skip to the third page of that. Man, we've been shut down on water lines for about 6 weeks since it started raining. Our guys, everybody's been sitting at home. So we're just now getting going again on County Road 2007.
I drove down 2007 a couple of days ago.
Yeah, we hadn't moved a foot anywhere.
But it looks like that thing grown up.
Yeah.
It looked like a cow trail.
And I know
that's hard.
The folks over at Hill Country Estates, that's this subdivision around there by past the Oaks. We got in there and we got their water lines in and John got them on, and then it started raining and they're frustrated. You may hear some complaints from them because it rained a whole lot in brand new, newly graded bar ditches. We've got a lot of work to do back in there, regrading the bar ditches and helping get some grass established. And But anyway, that was a great rain we had, but it stopped us from doing any construction, which was okay. I mean, we were headed toward being way over budget. Y'all just done the budget amendment to give us more money to continue with the distribution pipeline. So we probably won't end up spending all that money that y'all authorized simply because we've lost so much time to weather, but we're going to try. Next thing we got in here is our statement balances. If you look at the very, you see where all of our money's at. If you look at the very bottom of that page, that's the capital maintenance and trust starting balance. That was when we first started that account several years back. We put $6.8 million in there, and you can see how much interest we spent, and you can see how much interest we have left in there. And of that $359,000 there at the bottom, we're this budget proposes taking $200 out of it to pay for chloramines. No, they're sure not. They did, a couple of years ago. They made a fair amount, but right now they're not. The next page is the water uses report that I talked about earlier. You can look at the gallons of water sold for the month of May. We sold 5.5 million gallons of water. That's the least amount of water we've ever sold.
It had to be a lot of commercial or not selling water either, or not buying water.
I guess maybe so.
And the city.
The city.
They started pumping
in the summers, but they did that last summer as well. And you can see last summer we had you'll have to go up to
17
to May of 20. Yes. We sold last year, the city was pumping groundwater as well. And we still sold 17 million gallons of water.
Yeah.
So, that just shows you how much water people are actually putting on their yards, which is, when you get right down to it, that's a luxury for people.
For them to be able to do that is very nice.
Yeah, and it's nice that we can have them do that, and it's encouraging to know that if we ever get in a real bind and we start going into water restrictions and we ask our customers to not water their yards, I mean, we have the ability to operate on selling $5 million gallons a month in the month, like May.
Absolutely.
Next report on there is, that's our park usage report. It's how much money we've collected at the park, and it's a pretty good indicator of how the park's doing. In April, as before it started raining, last year we generated $12,700 in the month of April. This year, we're down to $7,000, which is closer to what we were doing in 18 and 19. In 18, we were at $4,000. 19, we were almost $6,000. And this year we're at $7,000. So we're almost back to normal on the park attendance over there, it looks like. Last year was just an aberration, I think, you know, with the COVID and
they had to have some place to go.
Yeah, they had to have some place to go.
Yeah.
You got any update on Hibbs and Todd?
On the what? Hibbs Todd? Yes. Hibbs they're setting up a working with JD, and they're setting up a process where JD's going to start collecting water and send it to be sampled. They're doing their water samples in their pilot study. We've decided to wait a month or so. We want the lake to get, you know, it's got a lot of fresh water in it. We want it to get back to normal, so we're probably not going to start doing it for a couple of months. That's kind of how our problem with the THM started to begin with. I don't remember if you were even here, but when we piloted that treatment plant down there before the lake was ever built, we were pumping water. We pumped our water straight out of the river,
yeah.
And that was the water that we tested. And that water that year that we were doing the pilot testing, it was under the influence of a lot of rainwater. It was muddy. And it was easy to treat, and we didn't, with that piloted water out of the river, we didn't create any chloramines because it was under the influence of a lot of storm water. And so we don't want to make the same mistake right now again, because the lake's half full of storm water out there right now, which does not have the TOC, THMs. So anyway, we're gonna let the lake get back to normal THM levels before we start the piloting on that. But anyway, we're in hold again because of the floods that we've been having. We can't really do too much. But
is this as full as we've ever had the lake?
Well, we've had it full this time of year before, but I tell you what, I've never seen it spill over. It's been spilling over for 5 or 6 weeks. It seems like it's been spilling over. If you stand out there by the boat, you can still hear it spilling over there right now. I bet, but yeah, we've never had so much water run through it.
See it downtown, right?
We had a good number of days of rain over the period of time too. That's one reason it spilled over longer, probably, but not as much as it did one time.
So possible carrying an umbrella.
It'll go.
Water going down the river.
Once it starts.
Do you know that my tank didn't fill up until last Monday?
Really?
We didn't have any rain more than an inch and a half through all of us.
Are you kidding? We had one day.
If you were in
I think it was Memorial Day. four inches in 47 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The water was raining. It was raining so hard.
But it was street water.
That ditch in front of my house. And the water was coming out of the driveway.
Kept the ground wet, though.
Yes. Well, I'm not complaining.
I'm better for you. I'm better for you, man.
But we could not get the tank.
How close are you to moving in your new digs?
We don't like how much. We've got a few things to finish up. We're probably there within 69 days to be complete.
Ben, you want to adjourn the meeting?
I might make some wood.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion second for adjournment. Anybody against it, just stay. We're going home.